welcome. And it is a blessing to have the moms that made it here today. So many are doing other things with family, and I think that's great, too. A lot of our own staff are over town celebrating with their family, their moms. It's a great day, and it's beautiful. Moms, you look beautiful. As soon as a baby's born, a mom is born. Isn't that great? We got some real young moms in here. And we have some great grandmothers in here. I read an article on the front page of the flyer. A woman here that's lived here 70 years with 52 grandchildren. Better catch that episode of the flyer. Comes to our 8:30 service. It is a joy to see you here this morning. For those of you who have been praying for my mom, it's been a long road. But she got out of the hospital coming into Friday and went home. She's at her house. I called her this morning. I said, "Mama, I'm doing an outrigger race." This is when she got home. I said, "I'm doing an outrigger race. I'm in San Diego," and she said, "Oh my goodness." She said, "Where does it go?" I said, "It goes about 12 miles straight out into the ocean." And she said, "You better watch out for the sharks." I said, "I got it, Mom." She said, "If you come into contact with one, punch him in the nose." I love that. And she said, "Tutti frutti." My mom's almost 91 years of age, and life has a different meaning. It just is the things that come at her and the things she's gone through. I learn, and I love her stories. Thankfully, she's home. And thank you for all who have prayed for my fam and the resting that's there. Welcome to our online audience. A lot of you are listening online this week, following this little thing. I can't fix this. I cannot fix this. Doggone it. I've said that so many times, looking at whatever it is under the hood of a car or whatever it may be. I've tried. I don't want to ship this thing out to somebody else. I don't want to have somebody do what I can do, but I may be missing a tool. I may not have a place that my golf cart can sit to actually do the work I want to do on it, and I get frustrated. This series is born out of bigger things, though. And last week in step one, we were talking about really this process based on a famous sermon by Jesus called Beatitudes. He said, blessed, we said last week, is another word for happy. It's a great word. Happy are those who. And he gives us some life instructions. If you stick with us through this little thing we're doing here, I can't fix this. And I hope you do, you'll find some practical action steps towards gaining some ground on healing the pain in your life. I've got pain right now. My back is killing me, man. That outrigger came completely out of the water with the exception of one seat in the back and slammed down on these mountains in the ocean yesterday. It was a really windy day down there, and I mean over and over again, and you feel that. And you're reaching forward, and you've got all this stuff in flux happening, nothing static. And today I'm sitting there going, happy is the man who takes ibuprofen before church starts. But what we're looking at goes way past ibuprofen. It's getting the inner healing that lasts eternally. And if you weren't here last week, basically we were talking about how pain is everywhere and it hurts. And a lot of you guys are going, duh, dude, where did you get your theology? Of course it hurts. But there are different degrees of pain. We got into that last week. You can check that out on our ACC website and listen to that. I don't want to go into it too deeply, but there is emotional pain, there is spiritual pain, and certainly there is physical pain. Nobody escapes it. Doesn't matter how pretty you are, rich you are, the background you come from, even the context of a really solid family, good family in the truest sense of definition. They seem to have it all together. Doesn't matter. Pain is everywhere. Some pain is caused by others in conflict and abuse, possible molestation, some pain that's stuck in the areas of our life we just can't get out of. I've had so many conversations with people this week, including a steersman for our outrigger team. We had an hour and a half for our race yesterday, and we got into serious detail about this very subject. What do I do with stuff that's deep in me that I didn't cause, but I can't seem to get rid of it? And you read that verse that we read last week. I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do, people were saying, that's me. Paul was really getting down to the nitty-gritty last week. He was just emphasizing much in this area of pain, saying, I'm right there with you. People say, I'm stuck in this. I keep saying, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to start over, no matter what it is. It could be gossip, deception, pornography, smoking, alcohol, masturbation, lying, procrastination, deception. You're stuck. You don't want to do it anymore, but you keep coming back to it. Guess what? You're not alone. You're not alone. Even a man after God's own heart with adultery and murder. And we looked at a list of names last week. God says, you're in good company. Pain is everywhere and it hurts. Some of us in here love to project it. Last week we talked about how, well, at least my life isn't as bad as hers or his. At least I don't have to deal with that. At least I don't sleep around as much as they do. I've got some friends seriously messed up, Pastor. You need to talk to them. Instead of turning the mirror on you, you turn it on someone else. I can deal with my pain, but I've got some messed up friends called projection. Another form of denial. Very real. And last week we used this illustration right here. This pain in our life, but we make it look really pretty. And we've got it going on, okay? And we tend to hold our pain and, hey, hops. Nice. Yeah. You like it? Mitsubishi 13-inch, picture in picture. Got it going on. And we just kind of make our pain look cool. And yet when everyone leaves and everyone's gone and all of our friends are gone, we're carrying this thing. We just look like dorks. We're carrying this. It's heavy. It hurts. You know? We're hugging the porcelain throne. We're smoking. We're doing whatever to medicate that pain. But quite honestly, it looks just like that. It's like, why are we carrying this? It may look cool. We can make it look cool. And last week, that was our detail. I had to go into that detail this morning, because we have to build on this. If you missed last week, there were some nuggets in there, and we've covered them this morning already. You can't deny these things. Really, I'm fine. Hobbs, I'm good. Or, can we just stop talking about it? Please? Can we just move on? Different subject entirely? Can we do that? Denial. It'll go away. I don't drink as much as he does. We deny things. This pain we're talking about could be a past hurt, or even a bad habit. They're all over the place. And when we strip life down, basically it says this: you and I are powerless to make these changes on your own. You're sitting here going, no. I got control, Hobbs. You got to understand. And the bottom line here is, you don't. You can't control things. If you could, you would. If I could, I would. We don't. So step one was last week, let's get help. Amen? Get help. There is everybody in this room, everyone in these pews dealing with something. And the room was packed. Admit you're not God. First thing we had to do, I'm not God. I don't have control over this. Jesus said, God blesses those who realize their need for him. Happy are those who realize their need for him. You say, time out. I'm not God. I can't do it. And you get there to that step. Step two today is about faith. Common word, but we're looking at it from a different angle today. Believing. It's a step about trust. So technically speaking, this is something my mother would say to me. She'd say, pretty is as pretty does. I'd walk out the door. She'd throw my brown bag lunch at me as I'm getting on the bus. And she'd say, humble, humble, humble. Smack me on the rear end. Just that last minute pep speech right before I'm going in the game. The game of school, the game of posing. Humble, humble, humble. These little things build it into me. Soften your heart. Step two today. Look at your notes, which is great. And I appreciate those volunteers at the door this morning passing those out. It's really nice of you, Caitlin and Natalie. So if you have them, that's what they look like. Flip them over. The scriptures we're using today are on here. If you forget something I say, don't forget what God says. The scriptures that are on here are very, very valuable. And you can use this online as well. Now, I know that God exists, some of you say, and that I matter. He's the only one that has the power to heal me. And if that's your case, you've already beat me to the punchline. You beat me to the final episode here of what it's about. Years ago, I had a youth group of guys that wanted to take some things to the next level, adventure-wise. And we decided we'd mountain bike in a place that really we had no business messing around in. There was a lot of little places to mountain bike around our area, but we took a 2.5-hour drive with a big trailer full of stuff and a bunch of crazy guys. And we got out to this place. It's in Ocala, Florida. It's called Santos. And during the summer months, I used to take these various adventure trips around. And even around the world, we do neat stuff, hiking up and down volcanoes and other places that just had adventure written on them. And I took these guys, and we pulled into this parking lot. And literally right off the parking lot was a warm-up section where these little whoop-de-doos you can do on your bike. And then what was called the Wall of Death. That was the name, the Wall of Death. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, this feeling like I'm not going to bring everyone back this time alive, you know? Not good. And I sat back wondering, oh, great, now they're having to sign waivers. What have I got myself into? We just drove all this distance. The guys are stoked. They're like, let's do it. I'm like, no, you know, there's the waivers. I will not hold this company liable. I could die. Might not die, no liability. If a tree falls on your head and you go off a cliff, you can't sue us. I'm just signing our lives away on all these guys as their guardian. And I'm just thinking, we are done. I literally was scared to death simply because the Wall of Death was the first thing in the parking lot. I'm like, what's behind the wall? You know? Does it get any better or worse back there? And so I'm thinking about pulling the plug, and all of a sudden this dude walks up. He's a local. He's literally about 50 years of age. And he says, hey, do you mind if I go with your group? I'm like, well, I'm not quite sure where we're going to go. He said, no, you guys got to go. Look at these guys. You got to take them. What's your name? I said, my name's Andrew, and I'm a pastor, and I usually do crazy stuff, but I'm going to lose somebody today. And, you know, just don't want anybody coming back dead. Parents don't really like that much, you know? And he looked at me and he just said, oh, listen, man, I've done hundreds of trips out here. In fact, I'll guide your trip. Now, the Wall of Death may work for some, but it doesn't work for others. In fact, I'm going to go off this thing right now. I'm going to show you guys what it looks like. I want you to watch very carefully from the top to see what I do. And then I want you to watch me do it again from the bottom. I want you to see what I look like coming off. So he's showing these guys this place to come off the back of their seat, pushing the thing forward, and then just kind of ease into it. And you want to take a look at what that drop looks like? Here's a picture of it right here. So there you go. And there's our group guys going off. This is the Wall of Death. And this guy's talking to me. This insane adventure all of a sudden becomes sane. Why? Because I'm talking to this guy. He's answering questions. He's showing us how to do this. And I think you're tracking with me right now. Okay? He walked us through this whole thing because of his response, and technically speaking, who he was. He basically worked there because he was every day in that park, almost 50 years of age. It was his character that changed my heart. And I literally had this thing that came from I don't know where inside me going, I guess we could do this. I went off that thing. And I mean, bikes were getting tacoed that day. It was bad news. But I went off of it. And it didn't feel that great when I hit the ground. My seat went in some awkward places. But it definitely, I lived. And I got to say I did the Wall of Death. I won't do it again, but I did it. And I went off it because I felt like this guy, here it is, I can't. That's what I said. Are you tracking with me? Step one, I can't do this. Step two, this dude walks in with tremendous character, goes off it in front of me twice and shows us how to do it. He can. God, I can't. God comes alongside us. Watch me. Watch these unforced rhythms. I've got your life, and with me, you can. God wants to be your guide in the healing of pain. in the redirection of your life, getting through pain, to avoid some of those rocks and tumbles the journey takes us through. You cannot maneuver life on your own. I'd never been to Santos. I'd never been there before. It was 73 miles of spider web through the forest out there and these sulfur pits and other things. But when I followed this guy, I had the time of my life. My bike got so torn up. My shins were ripped to shreds. I never walked, got home so happy. Guys were just talking about, when are we going back, Hobbs? When are we going back? It was a journey. It was an adventure. Yesterday, it was a journey. I looked at the guy in our car, all the guys, we just hugged each other when we came across. By the way, the ladies came in fourth, and the guys came in second and third in that. Isn't that cool? It was a good day yesterday for Avalon and Catalina. We were hugging on the beach like, what the heck? How did we get back here? And that's the adventure. How did I wind up here? How did I live past 21? That's what my mom said. I hope you live past 21, Andrew. You cannot maneuver life alone. But others, we think we've got this. Step one, I've got control. I'm not letting go of control. In fact, you know, I might as well just be the God of my universe. I can control my own life. Because of that, we continue to live the world's way and maneuver life on our own. And that's full of pain. And I have someone even in this town that I'm counseling with right now. We're just on a friend level talking. And quite honestly, he has rejected much because of a lot of pain. Just talking about borderline atheism and what it's doing to him as a result. God says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:3. Is that right? Could that really be right? What does mourning have to do with pain? What does mourning have to do with recovery from pain? How is this a step towards healing? I mean, when I let down, what happens? You open up. When I let down my heart, when I mourn, when I grieve, I open up my heart. Think as little kids. They're all over the place in Avalon. I saw a kid, Cinco de Mayo. They were dancing on that stage, man. It was so pretty. Flying around. One of them went flying right off the side of the stage. You know, I don't know if it was a mom, but it's certainly a mother figure. Just right on the rear. Come on, you got this. Get back in. Jump right back in there. When little kids are hurt, what do? They run to be comforted. Whatever reason a little kid cries for. You kick his puppy. He falls off his bike. Favorite things to do. I mean, literally, just watch Clarissa from the people that have just rented a bike, and they have no idea how to ride it. Are you guys dead this morning? Have you ever seen people in this town not know how to ride a bicycle? Nod your head. Yeah, right in front of your golf cart, right? I don't know what it is, but I don't know. I sit there, and I'm just like, this is awesome. I love watching it. It's terrible, isn't it? But I see them. They just kind of cruise all over the place. They need to be comforted really quick because they have no idea how to steer this thing. You know what, moms? When little kids that are hurt, they run into the house crying. Who do they ask for? Thank you. Every time they're asking for mom. It's not for mom, you know. It's not like moms are stronger. But it's because they know mom's comforting. You learn that really soon. Kid throws up in the middle of night. Who's there next to the toilet? Mom, where's dad? Sleeping. Dad's snoozing one off. Mom's there all night. And then dad hopefully will take the next shift. But those late shifts, it's a mom thing. When you mourn, when you cry, when you grieve, what you do is you're so looking to be comforted. That's the mother figure. That's what John was sharing in our prayer between the songs. The comfort of our Savior reminds us. The comfort of our mother reminds us of the comforting heart of God. It's a beautiful thing. It's a great reminder. 5:3 again. When you grieve, when you cry, what you do is you're so open to be comforted. That's a great verse. As a pastor, my least favorite thing to do is funerals. And my least favorite thing to do is students' funerals. They have been robbed of life. And to see the parents there, and some of you have been to some of those, actually not that long ago, you've gone through some of the grieving in our community. A lot of football players, a lot of sad things in the last 2 years. A lot of young men barely made it to age 24, 25. These people that grieve. There's a point when they're grieving, when they literally do not understand. When the pain is ripping their hearts, those are the times that are the most tender for healing. Generally, a pastor is called. Someone who is going to go outside of their own counsel and say, I want to offer this. And they offer God. My mom said other things on the phone, one of which was, I look out on that driveway and I just see your brother coming up the driveway. My brother passed away at Christmas, and my parents attended that funeral, and it was no fun, but we made light of much of his life, so many fun things, but they are still, along with myself, we're still grieving. Some of you in this room, you're the same way, and I respect that. And as a parent, maybe you've had to go through that. Your comfort comes from God. Happy are those who mourn. They will be comforted. Step two, soften your heart. Step one is to say, I'm not God, I can't do it. And number two is, I can't do it in that grieving that you can't control your life. So you open your heart to the one who can. So how do we open our heart? How do we move from the chaos of pain? And how do we move into hope? And some of you are going, I don't quite see the analogy here for Mother's Day. Mothers grieve. Mothers are in pain. Mothers are constantly thinking of their kids, hoping that you make the right decisions, constantly aware of where their kids are. Really, this is a step of hope. And so I transition here to say, let me give you a few things to think about. You might pray about, maybe some action that you want to take. Number one, here it is. Look in your notes. Recognize God as your loving and healing higher power. For those of you who have been coming to ACC for a while, you know I don't refer to God as higher power. I don't think I've done that. That's usually an Alcoholics Anonymous term, but some of these steps we're talking about, very similar to some of these recovery movements. And I've been feeling a little bit better about this. The higher power, this higher power, something, someone bigger, stronger, more powerful than me. Because when ego kicks in and pride kicks in and my own strength, I've got this determination, really good words. Unfortunately, though, it's very humanistic, and unfortunately, it is short-lived. I've got to look outside of myself. Big Poppy last week stood on our stage talking about a big injury, and unfortunately, it led to a big bad decision through depression and sitting back going, what is this? I didn't expect this. I joined football, and four games in, I'm out for the rest of my season. I'm out for basketball season. I'm going to lose my baseball season. I think I'll just drink. I think I'll just choose this. And lo and behold, great people stack hands, jump in his life, and say, what are you doing? And he's up on stage here giving his story and saying, I had to come out of that. And it wasn't from my personal life and strength. I recognize God as a power in my life that I had to rely on, and the healing started taking place, and the guy's just knocking home runs left and right towards the very, very end of his baseball season here. His heart's back on track, and he's tracking. It's a great story. I want to suggest to you that if your higher power is God, who created this incredible playground that we call Earth, God who loves you so much, who's pursuing a relationship with you, not religion, but a relationship with you, then you will be on track too. God is the only higher power. And for some of you, you look at this first point and you recognize God as your loving. Stop there. As your loving. For some of you in here, you have a hard time with this. Because people here on this planet, your parents that God has, you've been given, and you've had some real letdowns, and you've placed that on God. that letdown of a parent is now a letdown of God. I wish it wasn't the case, but some of you have abusive parents, either verbally, physically abusive parents, but that authoritative figure on God, and you transfer this thing thinking God is just this cosmic killer. He's just a downer, and I don't want to deal with this. He's abusive. How could God love me? A girl came up to me last week after the service, said, "You have no idea of my past." I said, "Well, I don't know you very well." She said, "God couldn't love me if he knew everything about my past." I hear you. There's just no way. I said, "He does know everything about your past. And before I don't see you again, I'm just going to drop this on you. He loves you." Let it sink in. Some of you in here, your parents were not around. They were divorced. They were separated. Dad may be distant. Because of that, you think this God is distant. That maybe he had something to do with creating the world, possibly, but now he doesn't want anything to do with my life. Created it, checked out. Some of you have unpleasable parents. It doesn't matter how hard you try. You will never be able to please them. You bring home B's, and they want B pluses. You bring home, an A, and they want an A plus. You paint something, very similar to my story growing up. You paint something, it's like you missed a spot. No matter what, you can't get ahead. Because of that, you projected what God is like. He is unpleasable. I cannot please God as a result of how I've been loved by my folks. And I've learned since I've been in high school, 25 years of studying the Bible and watching people have a relationship with God. Literally, the Bible tells us we cannot escape the love of God. It's a beautiful message. You cannot outrun it. You cannot escape God's love. He's knocking on your door. He's knocking on your life. It is literally that. He is constantly saying, "Come. Come to my table. Open the door." But some are here for other reasons. Some miss that. They come to church, like last week, the young lady, all sermon long. We were talking about God loves you. God loves you. And at the end of the sermon, "He can't possibly love me." And what did I end with? "I'm sorry, but God loves you." This is how it feels. But for whatever reason, people come here for social reasons or to check out, possibly to find someone for their life. Or maybe there's a crowd here and they just want to be a part of it. Whatever you want, whatever you come here for, you need to know God is constantly knocking on the door of your heart. You will hear that from this pulpit. He loves you. He's passionate and he's pursuing you. And that's you I'm talking about. Okay? Great verse, Romans 8. "I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from his love. Death can't, life can't, angels can't, the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can keep God's love away." And when you recognize God as your loving, healing power, this is the higher power. God is your higher power. What you're doing is you're giving birth to faith. Faith is born when you move from believing to action. Faith is born at this point. That is so cool. Step two, God can. What is faith? Hebrews 11, great verse. It's the confidence, assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. The evidence of things we cannot see. And there's a huge difference between belief and faith. Maybe you've heard this before. But there's a huge difference. Very few atheists anymore. Very few intelligent atheists. We now know too much. 50 years ago, a lot more atheists, but now we know more about the world. Cover of Time magazine says things like, "Scientists discover God." We know so much so even people who aren't Christians know there's got to be a designer behind this. This is way bigger. The typical atheists are not intelligent. They just don't want to believe in God. A That's because they want to live the way they want to live. They want to get away with things they want to get away with, basically guilt-free. And so as a result, there's a difference between people saying, I believe in God, and people having a faith in God. 98% of America believes in God, but not that many have put their faith and trust their life with God. A friend of mine tells a story, and I actually heard this when I was younger too, in regards to a tightrope walker many years ago that crossed the Niagara Falls. Now, this was way before they had some of the cables and the design they have now. But literally, he went across it once. The crowd were on both sides going absolutely berserk. He grabbed a wheelbarrow, put the wheelbarrow on a tightrope. Who've heard of this story before, right? Yeah, exactly. How many of you believe that I can do this, he said. And the crowd went wild. You can do this. We saw you cross. We know you can do this. And then he says, of those who believe, who would get into my wheelbarrow? It got quiet. Now, I've heard that before. And all of a sudden, I started thinking, I might try it, you know, if that guy was Houdini or something, if he was really good, you know. But then again, I'm stuck. I can't get in to the wheelbarrow. I'll watch you do it, bro. But, I mean, you take too long to get back and forth. I got a lot to do today, you know, whatever. The faith that's required and the excuses that follow, I've made them. I know it. It's faith. Getting into the wheelbarrow is faith. And there's a difference between belief and faith. I would say the majority of here believe in God. But do you have faith that He loves you? And He can provide healing to the pain. Matthew 17, I've been staring at it right here. I assure you, Avalon, listen to me. You, even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing is impossible with God. And you say, I don't have the faith you have. I mean, come on. You're a pastor. It's what you do. You don't need my faith. I've had to tell my kids that. My youngest will be a senior next year. And I literally have had to say, my faith cannot be your faith. Be careful. Recognize God as your loving and healing higher power. He has what it takes. A little bit of faith goes a long way. And when you can recognize God as that power, you can make this statement. Here it is. Look in your notes. God, I believe that a power greater than myself is waiting to be my personal Savior. I didn't mind the tour yesterday. I don't think of what's underneath the surface of the water. I literally have to black it out. I'm thinking of how do I get across the surface of the water when it looks this violent, much less what's underneath the surface of the water. But I had to believe that we have what it takes. We've trained hard. This boat should hold up. We've checked it over, and we've done this bilge pump underneath. It's sucking away, and water's leaving the boat, and I think we can do this. But until I got in, until I experienced those waves, and I experienced the yelling and the screaming and the knocking and the loud sounds and the water just coming in all over your face, that adventure doesn't happen in faith. You've got to reach out. You've got to move forward. Faith is the light switch to get it going. Number two, trust that God loves you and has the power to heal you. Faith and trust. This is the faith part. Sure, I believe there's a God. I might even believe that He's powerful. But He's not personal. I mean, He's big. I believe He's powerful. He created the world. He's got this playground going. He's got this big earth spinning. But He can't be personally concerned about me. It's been a while since I've even heard from Him. In fact, I'm so far south right now, and I've been on this spiral down. I don't even know if He knows where I'm at. It's deep. He can't be concerned about me. That view is a deist view. That God kind of got the whole world spinning. He got it set up and then took off. Whatever happens now happens by chance. This is very popular. It's very popular with millennials. It's very popular right here in Avalon. It's very popular in our various ethnicities and the cultures that are on this island. It's this, I do believe this, but he checked out after this got set up. Some of you believe that he's powerful, but he's not personable. Football players are strong. They're big. There's some really big guys, a lot bigger than me. And this week, completely dehydrated, had like a Red Bull for his whole day, and then started hyperventilating. We were in the emergency room 45 minutes later. Till we found out what he was drinking, I literally sat there going, what are you doing? You're twice my size, dude. You require a lot of oxygen. And as a result, you can't get a breath because your heart rate is skyrocketing here, almost 200 beats a minute for 30 straight minutes. You're talking about having like a stroke at age 16. What are you doing to your body? Well, he just said, I have to fend for myself at home. I mean, if there's nothing there, I just drink what's there. And I don't think about it in school because, you know, I'm going up and down the stairs, got to get to class, and I don't have time for water, or I don't have time to think about water. And I'm sitting here going, wait a minute here. You know, I may be your trainer, but I'm not your parent. So I met with a parent, 9 o'clock at night. Went over there, I'm going, hey, this is your kid, and can I see what's in your fridge? What are you giving him? He's a big boy. We got to keep him rolling. He takes a lot of fuel. And by the way, he's a little confused about how he starts his day. And mom, let me show you how to get this kid hydrated again and back up and running. Personal trainer. Personal friend. This woman is a good friend of mine. And her son is a wonderful friend. He's a good boy. Personal. This is my team. I care about each player. From an ankle sprain to someone that's completely under concussion. Some of you believe that he's powerful, but he's not personal. One of my first jobs as a kid, I did a lot of lawn maintenance. I did bushes. I pushed grocery carts. I worked in a produce department of a grocery store. And on the side, if someone needed me and some other resource in the neighborhood, I would even babysit. I would rarely babysit, but I would help out if needed. It was only $5 an hour, so I was like, okay, whatever. But I remember a neighbor asking me to babysit, and this kid's name was like Sean Lucifer or something, Satan incarnate. I don't know. All I know is he wouldn't sit down. He was constantly moving. I couldn't watch TV, couldn't call my friends. I couldn't do anything. He was go, 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 go. I was like, this is nuts. And when mom left, she said, be careful of the fireplace. He loves going near the fireplace. That's all they had to heat their home in there. And so he got really close to the fireplace. I'm like, this is going to be good. And yeah, I let it happen. He just kind of started screaming, got his hand near, and I'm like, you're never going to do that again, dude, you know? And he never did. And I sat back, and I'm like, that is so mean of me, you know? I told you, you know, something to do with fire and Satan incarnate, I don't know. He absolutely was berserk. Kid was neighborhood terror. Why do I tell you that? Because I was impersonal. I didn't give a rip. I didn't really care that much about Sean. $5 an hour. Am I going to lose the job? No big deal. I was impersonal. Many, many years later, guess what? I'm a dad. I have 4 kids. Guess what happens when my kids go near a fireplace? You know? I'm right there. Hey, get away, you know? Log breaks the other night and kind of flows onto the floor, grabbing my daughter. Hey! You know? Rescue mode. Why? It's my child. It's my kid. Their family. I love every ounce of them, every cell. Why? I'm their dad. You're their mom. You will throw your life in front of something to save them. There's a difference between impersonal and personal. Huge difference. When you trust that God wants to have a personal relationship, you say yes to him. You don't just believe. And he throws his life, his son's life, in the way of your sin to save you. Guess what? You're in his family. God doesn't just put you in his family by just believing. Even the demons believe. You have to put your faith and say, I trust you. I want a relationship with you. I believe that Christ, you have died for me on the cross. You took my payment for sin. You want a relationship? I want that relationship with you. And I'm putting my faith in there. And guess what? I'm now born into his family. When I was a kid, I heard, you must be born again, born again, born again. I love that. It does not get old to me. It's talking about a new life, something that's different. Some of you have heard the phrase like that. Everyone in here is a creation of God. Everyone. To receive him, to put trust in him, put action to that, you move from creation to what? Child. There's 6 billion people on this planet. How could God love me by name? Are you kidding me? How does he know my needs and everything about me? There's no way. How can he be personal with everyone? Why? Because he's God. That's the best answer I've got for you. My trust says he does care about those things personally. And you can figure it out. You can walk away from it. It's an easy out. I don't get it, so forget it. But you have a finite mind. This takes something of infinite thinking. God designed this plan, not us. It's outside of our thinking. Just because you don't understand something doesn't make it true. I have no idea how this thing was put together. Okay? My watch right here. I have no idea. But it works. It does the job. I still use it. I depend on it. I trust it about time. I had to catch a boat over this morning, and I'm trying to add up the time, the full boat coming over on Mother's Day and the traffic to get here. My watch was everything. When you accept the truth that God loves you, he's crazy about you, it's going to put you on a free path towards healing. Great verse. Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Bondage. These things wrapping you up. These things tearing you apart. But you know the truth. It will set you free. Amen? Oh, man, some of you can say it a lot longer than that and a lot stronger. You know what bondage feels like. You know when your pain is wrapping you up. Step one, I invite God's power to work in my life. I can't do it. I'm not God. Step two, I'm going to soften my heart. Somebody more powerful who can heal me. Number three here says, start taking small steps moving forward. You can't just sit there. You know, I'll just sit there. In fact, while you're talking, I'll just snooze one off. I've had a long day. God doesn't work that way. God shows up when you step forward. You notice the Israelites literally had to step into the water before it did what? Before it parted. They had to carry the ark. Some of you guys have seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. They had to carry this thing in the Old Testament days. Literally start moving forward before the sea would part. They had to get into the water before it would part. God is requiring trust. He is saying, I want to see that you trust me. If you sit there and wait for me, I'm going to wait for you. Do you trust me? Get into the wheelbarrow, dude. You want me to part this for you? Because they're hot on your tail? Step into the water. Not sure what this looks like? Let's give it a shot. Joshua had to tell the dudes that are carrying the ark, God told me that you walk in the Jordan. Just put your feet in the Jordan. He's going to make a way. People probably thought they were crazy. Do what? This thing's heavy. I mean, it's the ark. I could drop it. That wouldn't look good. Doesn't happen that way. They had to start walking up. Some of you saw The Prince of Egypt, the Moses story, that old movie. Pretty cool. It's actually done very, very well. Same thing happens. People running from the Egyptians, running towards where God told them to go, and the seas open up. As they're running, it opens up. There is movement. There's action that's required. So if you're over here dying in a pile and your life is like a mess, your faith step could be, I'm going to do something about this right now, and I'm not just going to attend services. I'm not just going to sit on my fanny in a pew. I need to be known. I need to be heard. I need to be cared for. And quite honestly, those are the definitions of a small group. You may need a small group. There are all different ages of small groups that surround this church, and the church is in Avalon. Amen? Woo! It's not just this church. The church in Avalon is meeting all over the place, and it's way outside the walls of this place. You want to be known? You want to be heard? You want to be cared for? Come sit at the table. I don't care what they're serving. It's always going to be good. And sometimes the discussion may not be what you want to talk about, but someone in there may strike up a conversation with you afterwards and say, let's have coffee. Let's take this to the next level. I don't know what the step of faith is for you, but don't just sit back and say, okay, God, change me. God's not a genie. God responds to people of faith. Can God change you that way? No sweat. Yes, he can. But from everything I know and everything I've read in the Bible and everything I've seen in life, other believers, God responds to people of faith. Start taking those small steps forward. Look at 2 Corinthians here, 3:5. It says, it's not what we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves. Our only power and success comes from God. This is the hope step. I'll do this. I'll just drink my worries away. I got this. I can handle this. I'll just find a way. And you keep taking a step, a different step, maybe a step towards God's way. That would be great. But the definition of insane is doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Try something different. Step towards hope. People said to me, I can't, it's too hard. In fact, sometimes it gets worse. Sometimes the pain gets worse. If I try this, if I step towards this, and I ask God to come into my life for healing, sometimes it gets worse. And guess what? You're right. Sometimes it will get worse. Some of you have secrets in this room you have never told anyone about. Something that's happened to you. For sometimes things to get better, they got to get worse. Some of you may need to go out and tell somebody something. And it's going to get a little chaotic. It's going to get a little crazy for a couple days. But that's the only step you can take before you get healing. It's a great risk. We're only as sick as our secrets. And sometimes it'll get worse for a little bit. But what happens next is incredible because the door of healing opens up. Or you can stay right where you're at in secret and move nowhere. Some say, well, I'm just too tired. I mean, I'm getting older. I mean, it's a lot of work. I'm settled right now. I'm just too tired to deal with this. I don't see any hope. I've been going at it hard. My family is what it is. I mean, they're all adults anyway. They all kind of make their own decisions. Can I close with this great passage this morning? Isaiah 40 says this. Have you never heard or understand? Don't you know that the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the earth, never grows faint or weary? No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He's the one who gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even youth will become exhausted. Young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And you may grow tired, you may grow weary, you may grow fearful, you may look at your wall of death, so to speak. God doesn't grow tired. God's done the 100 times course. He's done the course. I've done this course 100 times. Your group has to do this. God's going to bring healing in your life, but he works in conjunction with your faith. Faith is, I want to trust God's timing in healing my pain. Step one, get help. That was last week. I'm powerless. I have to have God. Step two, the mourning step. Soften up. Open your heart to grieving. Open your heart to know God exists no matter what. He's the only one who has the power to heal my pain. What a great gift to give your mother on Mother's Day. To allow yourself healing in your life. And to give yourself to God in all of its fullness. And to say, Mom, you'll never believe what I have for you on Mother's Day. I'm changed. You've been praying for decades. I'm home. I have a Savior. Thank you for the prayers, Mom. Thank you for never giving up, Mom. I'm home. You talk about Mother's Day, heaven's just celebrating like crazy. You talk about a gift you can give, Mom, it's eternal. There's no price tag on it. Mom, I'm home. My life is different. I've unloaded the crap. I've given it away to the only one capable of holding it. And I'm finished. Because he took it. Mom, you were right. You were right about me. Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that there is a God and he rewards them that sincerely seek him. That's why I say to you all the time, I love those of you in here that are seekers because you are literally seeking God to find who he is. And I pray that today you will open up your heart. Let's pray. Our worship team can come here this morning. You believed in him for a long time. Maybe some of you. Well, guess what? You need to believe that you matter to him. Open up your heart. Avalon, listen to me. You matter to him. Even the demons believe in God. But that belief didn't save them. Take your faith to God and trust that you matter to him. He's the only one who has the power to heal your pain. And mothers that are praying right now for family, for your kids, don't stop. Keep praying. The Lord hears those prayers. And Father, thank you for the way that you've brought about this day. Every person in here, and I don't understand how your love can be so personal, and yet I've experienced it. I've watched thousands of other people experience your personal love. God, I do know that you have the power to heal every pain in this room. And if there's a mother in this room and you're in pain this morning, guess what? He wants to heal it. And some of the pain in here is big, and I pray, God, that people in this room and the mothers in this room that care enough about their life and the lives of their families begin taking steps toward healing. Don't sit. Trust God today. Move forward. Step into that water. And if you're sitting here today and you've believed in God, but you never put your faith in him, you want to do that, why don't you just do this? In the silence of your heart, dear God, I want a relationship with you. He can hear your heart. Take what little faith I have. It's yours. I put it in your hands. I'm powerless to change my life. But I have faith that you have the power to change mine. As much as I understand what you did on that cross, I accept by faith that you forgive me and that you want a relationship with me, and I want to do that. And if you've done that, maybe for the first time, you let someone know this morning. I'd love to know. I'd love to chat with you. I'd love to just have time to let you know what a relationship with God looks like. Not just to believe, but to have your faith in him. God, thanks for your love. That it doesn't depend on what we look like, or your love isn't independent on how much money we have, or dependent on how cool we are, or talented, or untalented. You love us because you created us. And you want a relationship to bring healing. Out of the 6 billion people, we want to move from creation to child. We give it to you this morning. We pray this and thank you for that love. In Jesus' name, amen.